Welcome to the Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex blogger, a sex journalist, and an older sister. I'm here today with my little brother because my friend Bex is sick. Unfortunately, this week they have the flu. So I asked my other favorite person on this planet, whose name actually sounds a whole lot like Bex. This is my brother, Max. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
It's weird that I haven't had you yet, because you literally are my other favorite person on this earth.
And you, mine.
Why are you being so weird?
I don't know. It's my first time on a show. I'm a little nervous. I don't quite know how it goes.
Can you tell my listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. My name is Max. I'm a musician, a touring musician, session musician. I recently began teaching. I play in a couple bands. I also play guitar. I play drums in a few bands, and I also play guitar, compose my own songs, and sing. And yeah, recently graduated from a music program at college, and just looking to take the world by the stones.
You're a busy guy, a busy man.
Yeah, fingers are in a lot of pies.
I thought you were going to say a lot of guys. That's
I'm trying to come up with as many innuendos as I can for the Dildorks. I've got a list here. We'll get through 98 of these.
We are big on sex puns here, but we prefer them to be organic or orgasmic, as the case may be. But something else that we have in common, other than having the same parents, is we used to host a podcast together many, many years ago. This is a really weird thing that I don't talk about on the internet that much because it's sort of... I think people don't believe me when I say that. So, when we were kids... We were really into this show called Radio Free Roscoe, which was like a local Canadian TV show about some kids who start their own radio station using fake names to try to like take down the establishment of their high school administration. And we got really into it, and I Googled one day, and we hadn't had the internet for more than like a couple years at our house at this point, I think. But I Googled as I was like, how do you start a radio show on the internet? And a lot of articles were like, well, there's this new technology called podcasting.
I feel like you started with like with the television shows technology. Though. Like, how does one start a pirate radio station?
And it was right, like
quite complicated. A lot of things go into it that 14-year-olds from that television show wouldn't really be able to do.
Yeah.
But here's a substitute for the internet.
I think the conceit in that show was that one of the characters had found a transmitter at like an army surplus store in some foreign country or something.
What?
Yeah, it was whack. But so I learned about podcasting, and it's like it's nuts to me now that we started a podcast when I would have been like 11 and you would have been like 9, which is so weird. And then we did this show. It was called Radio Free Calamity. I'm actually going to play a little clip from that show here just so y'all can get a taste of what that was like.
You're listening to The Revolution, the world's first preteen podcast, Radio Free Calamity.
Hey listeners, this is Cruzette. We're going to try to stay up all night, and we're going to try to report back every 15 to 20 minutes. It's now 2:50. Silent just sneezed. It's now 2:56 a.m., and I hope you'll stay with us until the morning. Silent, do you have anything to say?
We're playing Pokemon and other Game Boy games, and I just named my Tauros ass.
Thank you, Silent, for that stirring report. We'll be back
actually,
more.
Okay,
we'll be back more with later. I mean, we'll be back later with more. Talk to you later. Bye.
Unfortunately, our all-nighter adventure was cut short by the arrival of our mother, who, to say the least, did not approve of our intentions. I hope you enjoyed this complimentary, supplementary audio from Radio Free Calamity, and expect a new show within the next few days. Thank you. Goodbye.
So that was weird, and we actually got quite a bit of attention because we were early enough in the days of podcasting that, like, it was still a novelty that anyone would have a podcast, but especially kids who spent the whole show just, like, arguing. So they put us on CBC Radio, which was nuts.
Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, or company.
And I remember they paid us this amount of money, which was, like, more money than I had ever seen in my life.
Or heard of.
Yeah.
That amount of money exists? It was in the hundreds of dollars. It was not...
I bought an iPod with my own money, and I was so proud because I was, like, 12, and I felt so good about myself.
I bought a cymbal, I think. A new cymbal for my drum set.
Cool. So that really set us off on our career trajectories.
Well, I haven't kept up.
Do you feel like that show did influence you in any way, though? Like, do you think that moved you forward in your career at all?
A little bit. I mean, I knew a lot about home recording,
mm-hmm.
like, from when I was young because of that. And
right.
Now, like, I do that at home. Like, I do tons of home recording for bands and for myself. So it's, mm-hmm. like, I totally remember, like, oh, yeah. Like, even, like, just basic things, but it's still something. It's like, yeah, this is the stop button. And this is, like, this is to go back to the beginning of where you started the recording.
Yeah. And you were drumming a little bit at that point, because we used to do our theme song. We would perform it live every episode.
Live in studio.
And actually, our mom texted you today, you were telling me, and said that we should do our theme song on this show. And we made the executive decision that we were not going to do that because no one would get it.
Very esoteric.
So that was good. We've been creative collaborators since we were children. And now you're a musician, and you just got back from a tour with your band Goodbye Honolulu, who do some amazing stuff. Is it weird being in close quarters with those three other dudes, or is it kind of chill at this point?
It's pretty chill. Like, everybody knows each other really well,
mm-hmm.
but it's, like, all three of them are they're extroverted,
yeah.
and I'm introverted, so... Especially, like, when we're on tour and we're out on the road, like, it's, like, every night, it's, like, let's, after the show, all the gear is taken care of, it's, like, let's go out, let's go drink, let's go hang out, and it's, like, and I'm always just, like, guys, like, I gotta go back to the Airbnb or back to the hotel, and I gotta just be quiet.
Yeah.
Like, the show was my party for the night.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, every time we go out, I feel like it gets a little easier. You just keep practicing being an extrovert. Also, I feel like honestly, I feel like I'm playing a role sometimes. I feel like I'm good at playing the actor who's extroverted. So if it's like, if we're on tour with friends and it's like, I'm not going to see them for another 6 months because they're going to continue their tour,
mm-hmm.
then I'll be like, okay, I gotta play that role. I gotta go out. Okay, let's do it, guys.
I totally get that. I'm the same way. I remember that you have your own podcast, which you don't do very often. Sideboard?
Right, Sideboard.
Yeah, so you and your buddy Duke, who are both, like, super shy, introverted dudes, host this podcast. I'll link it in the show notes on our website. But you did an episode...
You really don't have to do that.
I actually admittedly have not listened to it, and I really should. But you told me that you did an episode about, like, dating... and flirting as, like, a shy, introverted person, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so, like, I'm also a shy, introverted person, but I work in the sexuality industry, so I feel like I have access to a lot of, like, kind of helpful instructional materials about, like, flirting and dating and stuff. So, like, I can kind of, like, do it competently-ish some of the time, but, like, do you have tips as, like, an introverted person for, like, flirting, or, like, how do you navigate that?
Honestly, I don't know if it has anything to do with an introverted person, but something Duke and I discussed was, like a year ago or a year and a half ago, I decided, like, I don't want to play any more games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do relationship games, so I don't want to be sitting around and be like, oh, she just texted me, I'm going to wait 2 hours and text back. I was just like, I'm not playing this bullshit. Like, if I get a text, I'm going to answer it. And if I'm not going to give like a coy answer to a question to like distance myself from a situation. Like, I just want to be real and authentic and just like let the person know what's up.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, that's like, oh, like you should add some mystery and like some, some intrigue to yourself. So, I don't know. I guess I try not to go all the way with that, but like I just want to be honest. Like, I want to be authentic and real and just be like, "Yeah, here's what's up. Here's my situation." And like I'll answer you when I see your text. I'm not going to fiddle around with your feelings.
Yeah, I increasingly in this era of like the importance of being chill and whatever. I'm so turned off by that. And like when someone does answer my texts in a prompt fashion and they're like clearly like vocally enthusiastic about me, it stands out so much that sometimes it makes me interested in someone when I might not otherwise have been that into them, because it's just like, wow, like you are actually really into me and you're being real about that. Like, that's a really admirable quality, I think.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely the culture of, oh, I gotta seem chill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, be chill when you're actually interacting with them in person. But it's mm-hmm. like, besides that, like fuck that. Like, it's awesome when a person's excited to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm playing it cool. I'm sitting here on the couch with my sunglasses and you can't see my cards. And it's like, no, it's like, hey, what'd you do today? Really? The supermarket? Holy shit.
Amazing. Yeah. And I think like if you do want someone to be chill, that's maybe a sign that you're not that into them, because I feel like if I'm actually interested in someone, I want them to be really excited and I'm really excited and like I find it really difficult to wait to text them back because you want to talk to that person.
Totally. 100%. Without a doubt.
I wanted to ask you about fans, because I feel like you guys, I don't want to compare you to the Beatles, but in this one way, you do remind me a little bit of the Beatles in that there's four dudes and they're each like pretty different physical and personality types. And I would imagine that there's like hardcore groupies who like are big fans of each boy. Would that be accurate to say?
I'm not going to use the word groupies.
Yeah. Like,
there's no one waiting outside the stage door with a tied up shirt going, hey,
okay,
take me back to the Airbnb.
I like this creepy character you're doing. Yeah, that's
Shyla, more Secrets of a Call Girl. I don't know, I've never seen that movie. I just heard the Office reference. Yeah, it's definitely like each guy in our band sings and writes, so mm-hmm. I can see like each guy having their own fans and their own intrigue.
Yeah.
Sorry, what was the question?
Is there one who has like more rabid fans than the others?
There is. Our dude Fox. he's the pretty boy face of the. I mean, the other two guys, like, very good looking, very charming. Your boy in the back sitting playing drums, he's all right. He's got a good heart, but Fox just like he has like some like a bigger internet following and interest around him just because of people he knows. Like, yeah. I don't know if I want to like.
He's connected to like Petra Collins and Tavi from Gevinson, Rookie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it bother you that he's like the popular pretty boy? Is that something that you would want to be?
I play drums, man. That's where I sit.
Okay.
Let him do that.
Okay. So you're cool with that? Yeah. I feel like that would be me too if I was in the band. Like, I might be like quietly a little bit jealous of someone who is more popular, but I also don't think I would want that level of like. Because even in what I do, like, I get, like, DMs from people who they're like, I'm such a big fan of you, you're so cute, I'd love to take you on a date. And I'm like, I don't know, like, that's a little weird.
Yeah, I don't know, just like, I feel like it's less of, like, I want to take you on a date, and it's like, I don't know, just like, people who are younger on the internet, they just say odd things. And I'm never, like, offended by them, but it's just like, got a tweet the other day that was like, Eminem and Fox are my new dads. And I was like, I'm the one who runs the Twitter, so I'm kind of like trying to think of what their perspective on that. And I think I wrote back like seems likely or something.
That's so funny, because like at first I was like, I wonder if that's that millennial thing where you call someone daddy as like a confession of like feelings or like romantic or sexual feelings about them, but there's something about dads that's like so not daddy. Like that's just a different.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just like that. Like they wear dad hats and they'll take you fishing. I don't know.
Because then the implication then, if they're your dads, is that they're also a couple, which is like a little bit of a rude position to put them in.
I guess. They could do worse.
It's true. They could each do worse than each other. And they could also do better than each other. If you were ever in a situation where you could date a fan, is that something you would do, or would that be too weird?
If I could date a fan. I think there's a degrees of fans. Mm-hmm. So my last relationship, I met her at a show, mm-hmm. and she had been to our other shows. So I think she was a fan, but she wasn't like a super fan. She wasn't like, oh, I love this lyric in the third stanza of the second minute of the chorus. Like, she was like, yeah, I've been to your shows. Like, I know the songs you guys have put out as singles. Like, you guys are a good band. Mm-hmm. So, I'd date someone who's interested in the band, but I don't know. You don't want someone always questioning about your work. Like, how did you come up with the drum beat on the third fill of the second bar? It's like, okay, just... Let's not talk about work for a minute.
Yeah, I'm thinking about this a lot lately because my last relationship was also with someone who knew me through my work. And there was at first this like weird power imbalance where like he knew so much more about me than I knew about him. And like now I flirt sometimes with people who listen to my podcast or read my blog, and they have this sense of like knowing me or like feeling some sense of like intimacy with me, right, before I even know who the fuck they are. So I feel like this is increasingly happening in the internet age, because like anybody can amass a following. It's like not even that difficult to do it, really.
Yeah, and it can definitely create the illusion of like, that's the thing about art. It's just like it translates to people. Mm-hmm. But then it's like when you get right down to it, it's like you think you know me because you've listened to 12 songs.
Right.
And I've given you this little capture of my life, but it's like, you know, you don't know that I'm super interested in the OJ case, and you don't know that I'm like, I'm the world's biggest Kiss fan. It's like, I could tell you any obscure fact from the band of their 44-year history.
Oh, do you have like a weird sex story about Kiss that you could share with me?
A weird sex story about, like, involving me?
Like, no.
Like, me and Gene went off this... Gene Simmons has slept with over 5,000 women.
Jesus Christ.
That's...
Is yeah. that, like, when you hear that, does that sound aspirational to you, or does that, like, stress you out? Like...
Stresses me out.
As an introvert, for me hearing that, I was like, where would you even find the time? Like...
Well, like, in interviews, he's always like, yeah, the reason anybody in a band becomes a member of a band is so that they can, like, just so they can fuck. And it's like, it's never actually about the music. And it's like, I feel like maybe back in the 70s, like, that was a large part of it.
Yeah.
And, but, like, now I feel like that's totally not it. Like, I want to be an artist so I can express myself artistically. Mm-hmm. But then I think about it, and I really analyze it, and I'm like, is it just because I'm in a different time where there's not as much money allocated to the arts, so it's like I have to be dedicated to the art and I can't just be thinking about pussy all the time?
And I also feel like for him to say that is like weirdly invalidating to so many artists, because it's like giving a free pass to like harass and assault like artists, because it's sort of like the thing about how like men are supposed to always want sex in our culture, and what results is like if you don't always want it, then people think you're like weird or, you know, not masculine enough or whatever. Right. And it's like what he's saying almost does the same thing about musicians, where it's like if they don't want it, then there's like something wrong with them, which is like shitty. Like, you shouldn't have to face that kind of negative attention just because you're in the arts.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Gene just makes these statements to get attention.
Yeah.
And he knows that he'll succeed. Mm-hmm. Like he always does these things where he'll come out and say something very controversial. And people, like, I'm not defending it, but, like, people always, like, jump on him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, Gene said... But it's like, look, when Gene does this, like, look at what he's doing around that. It's like you get to the bottom of the BuzzFeed article or whatever, and it's like, Gene Simmons is now on tour with his solo band. Here are the tour dates. Mm-hmm. So whenever he does something stupid, look at what he's doing. Gene Simmons was just banned from Fox News for being a fucking dumbass. He was promoting his new book.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just, I don't know, he's like, he's in this weird marketing phase.
You would never do like a weird stunt like that to publicize.
Not like that. Like, yeah. I might do something. I might be like, yeah, like, I'm gonna try and scale the Eiffel Tower, and then I'd get to France, and then I'd like send like one tweet like, oh, not actually gonna do it, and then they'd be like, why didn't Max Bornstein fucking do it? And then it'd be like, Max was in France because he was promoting his new solo CD.
It's about failure as a person, so it's a thematically relevant publicity stunt.
Oh, gotta hear that. That's smart.
Yeah. I have some advice to ask of you, since we're talking about people hitting on members of bands. As you know, I'm really into the band Hippocampus.
Right.
I'm going to see their show in February. I have no illusions that I'm actually going to even, like, talk to them at all. I'm really not, like, committed to that idea. They have tons of really interested fans. But I have a huge crush on Nathan Stalker, who's the lead guitarist of that band. He's a super cutie. I think he's so talented. Is there a right way to, like, approach someone in a band if you want to, like, make out with them or a little bit more than that?
I would say, like, just do some research. Like, don't say something generic. Don't just come up to if they're at the merch table or if they're coming out of the bus, just, like, the tour bus, I mean. Like, mm-hmm. don't come up and be like, hey, great set! Like, they've... You know, that's a nice thing to say, but they've heard it 100 times
right,
that night.
Right.
And every night. So it's like, I don't know, like, go watch, like, an interview with them.
Right.
And if they're like, yeah, like, I just picked up this book, like, this is my new favorite book. Just be like, yeah, I've heard of this book. Like, this author is pretty cool. And they're like, oh, like, you're actually keyed into something I individually said, not just, like, a collective band statement
mm-hmm.
about music. And it's like, you know, it's like with dating an ordinary, we're godly artists. What, dating someone who, like, you know, you're interacting with someone,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you know, show an interest in their interests.
Right. Yeah, I get that. Because I get people coming up to me sometimes at events and they're like, hey, I love your blog, or like, I love your podcast. And part of me is like, I don't know to even believe you, because like that's there's no information in that really indicates that you've actually consumed that thing. But also, like, there is nothing really for me to say to that besides thank you. Whereas if they come up to me and even say like, I like this specific post you wrote because of XYZ, like, that's even easier for me to engage with them, because then we can have a conversation about why they like that post and like what it said to them and what it meant to them in their life. And yeah, it's a little more of an interesting conversation at that point.
Right. Yeah, that's totally it. Like, only being able to say thank you. It's like, yeah, like, great set. Yeah, great. I like that episode of that podcast. Thanks.
Yeah.
Where do we go from here?
But there's also, like, there's a risk of if you get too personal and too specific that you might come off a little bit creepy. Like, if someone is like, hey, I really liked that tweet you wrote in 2009. Right. Where you said you like cinnamon frosted flakes. I also like those. Let's perhaps go on a date and eat cinnamon frosted flakes. Is that a thing? Do those exist? I think I might have just made that up.
Yeah, it's definitely an exclusive item to Germany. Oh, yes.
It reminds me of how we always call cranberry ginger ale cringer ale.
We saw that so much in The Road, and Jacob was very excited about it.
About it being called cringer ale, or just the flavor?
No, I did not disclose that information. It's just like, it's like, look at this. Sick color. A little pink, a little bit of red.
Is there anything about those guys that, like, drives you nuts after being on the road with them for a while?
I don't know. We all drive each other nuts. Like, I would say we disagree on most things. But, like, that's where the good stuff comes from. Like, yeah. That's where you... Yeah. Like, everybody always wants the best for the band. It's just, like, how do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, like, we... I don't know. We know each other. I saw this Instagram story. It's like it was a Simple Plan, and they're on the Warped Tour cruise,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing a photo shoot, and Pierre is filming, and Pierre and Chuck are like the main dudes in the band,
mm-hmm.
and Pierre's filming Chuck, and he's like, "We've been on the boat half an hour, and you're already annoying me." Like, yeah, I feel that. Like, that's where we are. But no, like. Most of the time we get along, but just like, you know, I would say most of our disagreement, like, we're fighting over the internet, and it's just like we need to talk to each other in person and figure things out, because it's always like,
yeah,
oh, I don't like the way you wrote that post. Oh, I can't fix it because I need to talk to you and find out what you need from it.
Yeah, I actually feel in many ways grateful that me and Bex don't live in the same city. Like, it makes it difficult, and sometimes it's really sad to be away from them for that long because they're my best friend. But in terms of, like, business collaborations, I feel like the distance is probably good for us, because I wouldn't want to get, like, annoyed with them just as a result of, like, spending too much time with them. Although, honestly, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything I dislike about Bex. They're just a perfect little bean.
Right. They are flawless.
They're flawless, yes.
But, I mean, you've traveled with Bex.
That's true. Yeah, we've been together, I think, up to, like, 10 days continuously.
Yeah.
And even at that point, it was, like, fine. Like, they're a lot more, like, organized and methodical than me, which, like, might annoy me if not for the fact that it is actually so helpful.
Right. They're always right.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're traveling with people, like, if you're on tour or if you're just going on a trip or something, I think you just suck it up anyway, because it's like, I better not blow up over this, because we have to be together for the next 8 days. And
right.
It's going to cause trouble if I'm being a jerk.
So I want to circle back and talk to you about a previous collaboration we did together.
Let's do it.
When we were about, I want to say I was probably about 13 or something. So you would have been 11, maybe even younger. We made this song together that's called Ass.
One of the compositions for the ages. Terrific track.
So before we discuss it, I'm actually just going to play it here so that our listeners can hear it.
Ring-a-ding-ding-a-ding-ding-ding.
Hit me, fuck me in the ass.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Hit me, fuck me in the ass.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Hit me, fuck me in the ass.
Ring-a-ding-ding.
Hit me. Fuck me.
Ring, ring.
In the ass.
That's what she said.
Ass.
Okay, so tell me, do you remember, like, anything about the genesis of this song? Like, why did we make this song?
I can't remember the genesis. I can remember us multi-tracking, though. Okay, let's go to the next track. Let's get the second voice in there.
Like, what amazes me about this is that we were children and we made a song that's about, like, kinky anal sex, but we definitely were not thinking about it like that at that time. I think we just thought it was, like, funny words that sounded funny.
Yeah, of course. Just, like, definite kids where your prefrontal cortex is not fully formed. You're just, yeah, the word fucking ass are definitely funny.
And then I love that there's this, like, weird slurping sound. Like, you were, like, drinking probably a Coke or a ginger ale or something. So there's just, like, we did all these, like, weird slurping sound effects throughout, and they really just add to the, like, sleazy, gross, kinky sex feeling of this track. And it's very weird to listen to in retrospect.
Right.
Like we were messed up kids.
Pretty weird. Yeah, the drinking at the end is, like, It's like, we didn't smoke cigarettes, so once you're done, you lean back with a Coke and... was it good for you?
And, like, what I think about, too, when I listen to this is, like, where were our parents? Were they listening to us recording this? And, like, if so, were they like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I don't think we would have done it in front of them.
No, I don't think so either. I think that we usually tried not to record our podcast in front of them either, like, because it got tense sometimes.
Yeah, you don't want to be inhibited. You wanted to be able to let it fly if you had right. something to say.
Yeah. Sometimes we would get into actual fights, like actual physical fights.
Not great for on air.
No.
If we had a producer, they'd be like, guys.
You have to stop doing that.
This simply, it's not going to work for the network.
So I wanted to talk to you a bit about our parents and stuff, because... I had our mom on the show a while ago, and folks listening, if you haven't heard that episode, you should check it out. It was from Mother's Day, and it was an interesting interview. Our mom is an interesting lady. But one of the things we talked about was, like, how she... I don't think she would have used the term sex positive, but, like, she tried to raise us in a way that was, like, relatively accepting of sexuality. Did you feel that way growing up?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Even last week, she came home and she had been at some, like, Christmas caroling event. And mm-hmm. it was at, like, a mostly gay congregation church.
Mm-hmm.
And she came home and she's like, yeah, they had these condoms in the bathroom. Like, you can have. And it was like just a big old strip of Trojans, like 10 of them. I was like, yeah. Thanks, Mom.
Yeah. She gave me some female condoms and she was like so excited about it. She was like, I've never even heard of these. This is such a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Like totally accepting.
Yeah. Right. And I always feel like they were really chill about, like, if we were, I remember our mom telling us over and over, like, if you're gay, it's fine. We'll still love you.
Right.
Which was helpful because I did come out as queer, and that definitely made it a lot easier. Like, I remember, I don't know if I've ever even told you this story, when I was 15 and I had come out to, like, a few friends as bisexual, I was, like, in the car with our dad, and he was driving me home from somewhere, and I was telling him about Pride, which was coming up, and I was excited I was going to be going to all these Pride events. I was telling him about, you know, the Dyke March and the Pride Parade. And he stopped me. He was like, are you gay? And I was like, no, I'm bisexual. And he was like, cool. Does mom know that? And I was like, yeah, I told her. And he was like, cool. All right. He was just like completely chill about it.
Cool. Yeah. Like, that's how it should be. It's the smallest part of who anybody is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it should be just like, I'm trying to think of like a comparable thing you could tell him. Like, yeah, today I dropped my pencil crayon at school. Cool.
Nice.
Good work.
I don't know why you're doing our dad as Obama a little bit.
Terrific.
Can you break me off some impressions? We had my friend Brent on the show a while ago, and I made him just do a bunch of impressions for me because I just find it entertaining.
I got nothing.
Remember last Christmas when we were doing Obama in the role of George Bailey?
Did we do that? Our cousin Lee is really the impression man. Like, he's got the voice.
You do good Obama too, though.
I feel like I can come up with the lines. Like, I could write the script for the character, but I couldn't necessarily do it.
Can you do a little Jimmy Stewart George Bailey for me?
Mary. No, I'm like
Mary.
I'm like this is humiliating. Like, okay, everyone's gonna be like, sorry. That's bad. You're bad. Bad. Like, not. I can't think of another adjective besides bad.
Okay, I won't put you on the spot with the impressions.
Have me on again. I'll rehearse. I'm like, okay, like, let me get my notes out here.
I wanted to ask you about if it's weird for you that I work in the sexuality industry.
I mean, like, you've always been like, don't don't follow my social media or go to my blog if you don't want to see some shit that might be weird to see your sister doing. I've pretty much been like, okay, I'm not gonna investigate that too much.
I remember when you asked if you could add me on Snapchat. And I was like, well, you're gonna see some nudes of me, so, like, probably not. And you were like, you just put them on your story? Like, wow, you're just out there.
Do you?
Occasionally, yeah.
On a story, wow, 24 hours. Yeah, it sucks I don't have you on Snapchat. I'd be sending you funny shit all the time.
I wonder if you can have me without me having you.
Something to
figure out, yeah.
Something to Google, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's like, it's not weird. And it's like, it's been super helpful. Remember one time I like came home and I was really scared and I asked you a question. I was like, what if this girl's pregnant? What if I, and you were like, no, that can't happen. And you're like, you're probably in the clear. Like it's that's a special bond.
Cool. Yeah. I think I've also given you condoms a few times over the years.
I've definitely stolen condoms from you. Like, I'm gonna admit it, like, I've taken them.
You could just ask me, you know?
No, like, you're not home, and I'm like, I don't have time to...
Okay. Hope you didn't steal anything else.
No, I don't... Nothing sexual, definitely just, like... The other day I took the fan out of your room.
Oh, okay.
Need another fan.
Yeah. I'm not in there, so that's fan with me.
Yeah.
That wasn't even a good joke.
I took a guitar strap.
What? I love that strap.
Yeah, because you've used it in the last 10 years.
I have.
Okay.
That's the strap that has skulls all over it?
Yeah.
That's fucking badass.
Yeah, because you use it all the time. Yeah, right. I swear it has to be over a decade. When have you last picked up your guitar? Oh, yeah, 2007, maybe.
So, I'm playing a show on Friday. Oh, maybe I should actually, like, promote this on the show, like an actual adult person who knows how to market things. Toronto, I'm playing a show on Friday at the Cavern Bar.
76 Church Street.
My set starts around 8:30, but you can get there around 8 p.m., get a drink. It's a fundraiser for a women's shelter. It's going to be awesome. But so our mutual friend, Missy Bauman, is one of the other people on the bill. And I had a discussion with her on my blog a while ago about writing songs about sex. She has this amazing song called Motherhood, where there's this line where she says, I want you to come in me. And I had this whole conversation with her. I was like, that's like a bold thing to say on stage. Like, she has this persona. She's like very shy looking, and like, you just don't expect her to sing that lyric. And then I write stuff about sex all the time. Like, I have a lot of kinky songs, and I have my sad blowjob song. Is sexuality something that you explore in your music at all?
It is, but I've never been as bold as Miss Bauman at that. I try to make it more subtle. I have one good lyric. You've been feeding me these little lies. You've been feeding me these little lies. You've been swallowing up all my pride.
I like a good subtle beige reference. That's good stuff.
Thank you.
But, like, a problem that I had when I was living at home, which you still are, is that I never wanted to practice the sexy songs where our parents could hear them, which is, like, silly, because I know that they know that I'm an adult who has sex, but I was always like, well, I'll just mumble my way through that line so that I don't have to say the word blowjob while my dad is sitting there. Like,
right.
Is that ever an issue for you?
I guess we're in the unfortunate situation where it's more acceptable for a man to say that kind of lyric.
You think so? Interesting.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, there's like slut shaming and whatever.
Well, I think it's just more of like a attaboy kind of thing. It's like, oh, my daughter, no.
Yeah.
Lock her up. But our parents aren't like that. But it's like, it's like you see that and you feel that so much that you...
Right.
You feel like it's present even when it's not at all present.
Yeah. Well, I remember one time when I was about 16 or 17, I was on my way out to some like party or something, and I was wearing this dress that was like kind of low cut, and as I was on my way out the door, our dad like stopped me and made me go change my outfit, because he was like, I can see too much of your boobs, basically. But that was like such a rare thing. Like, I don't remember him ever really doing anything else like that, but which was why it was so like shocking to me at the time. I was like, dude, like, you don't own my body, this is weird.
Right.
But I also felt like I had to do it, because otherwise I would be grounded.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I feel like, it doesn't excuse it, but I feel like he did that less because he believed in that concept, and more just like, that's what dads in 2005 did, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. He always tells me this story about when I was young and I was listening to the song It Wasn't Me by Shaggy, and that he started to actually listen to the lyrics of that song, and he was like a little bit alarmed that his little daughter was listening to this song about banging on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, it's a catchy one.
But the thing about that song is, like, the sex is not the shitty, irresponsible thing about that song that, like, would make me worry if a kid was listening to it. Like, that dude takes no responsibility for his infidelity.
I think he's referencing Eddie Murphy's Raw comedy performance, because there's a bit where Eddie Murphy's talking about his friend who got caught sleeping with another woman. Like, doing the act.
Yeah.
And then he comes out, and she's asking him, like, what is this situation? He, wasn't me. I think that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Wasn't me.
It's so weird. Like, I'm trying to think about all the, like, sexual messages that I absorbed as a child. I don't think that song fucked me up. The thing I always think actually did fuck me up sexually is Everybody Loves Raymond.
No.
Because we used to watch that a lot, right?
Yeah.
And I always, like, there's so many scenes in that show where
Deborah's like, I don't want to have sex. And it's, like, Ray's, like, favorite thing.
Yeah.
And they, like, withhold it. She withholds it from him. And if, like, he does something good, like, gets her a gift or something, like, she'll give it to him.
Right. Which, like, really reinforces this message of, like, sex is something that women have that we have to keep from men, and their job is to, like, wear us down until we give it over. Which is, like, problematic for so many different types of people, because it makes men think that a no isn't a no, that they have to keep pushing and pushing because that's their job. And it makes women feel like if they do like sex or want sex or say yes to sex, that they're doing the wrong thing. They're not, like, holding up their end of the bargain as, like, a gatekeeper, you know?
Right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, go back and see, like, who the majority of the, like, what the gender split was on the writing staff, if at all.
Yeah, really. Yikes. Is there anything like that for you that you think you, like, absorbed sex messages about when you were younger?
I definitely absorbed that Everybody Loves Raymond thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I remember, like, right before I started having sex, I thought sex was something that for everybody lasted a very long time.
Like, how long?
Like, an hour and a half.
Okay.
Like, I honestly didn't get, like, what finishes sex?
Interesting. Where do you think you got that from? Just, like, culture in general?
I don't know. I guess I just didn't watch too many American Pie movies. It's like, oh, you breed all over me.
So, like, was that shocking to you when you realized that that wasn't necessarily the case?
Yeah. It's like, what? You're, like, people are just hoping for 15 minutes action? You're crazy.
I mean, an hour and a half, if you include, like, all the foreplay stuff, I could see that being a reasonable, like, that's, like, for me, relatively normal. But, like, yeah, an hour and a half of, like, thrusting sounds like hell to me, so...
Not great.
But there are some people who are into that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, to each their own. But I thought, like, every sexual session was like, clear my schedule.
Yeah. I remember when I was very, very young, like, there are so many descriptions of sex for kids that are basically, like, the man puts his penis in the woman's vagina, and there's very little description of there being, like, thrusting or motion, so I always pictured it as just, like, he just puts it in and just kind of stays there, which is a thing in Mormon culture. It's called soaking, and it's the way that they get around all the rules that they have about virginity and marriage and stuff, is they just put it in and leave it there. Which is, okay. Like, could be appealing in its own way as, like, sort of, like, a delayed gratification thing, but is not, like, I thought that that was just how sex worked. And I remember thinking, like, how would that even be fun? Like,
pretty intimate.
It's very intimate, yeah. It's very tense.
Hey. Like, what do you just stay in silence?
Or do you discuss your day?
Yeah, exactly. Are you catching up?
Do you describe in intimate detail what you're feeling? You're very still. Nothing is happening.
Thanks. We're doing well.
We're nailing this.
We're going according to the book here.
Is there anything else that you wanted to get to?
Well, if you just want to go back to the show for a sec, the show at the Cavern Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Sam and Desiree from Kaleidoscope Horse will also be performing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Kaleidoscope Horse is a band on Fried Records.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic band, fantastic songwriting, fantastic songs. And the whole show is hosted by our friend Angelica.
She does this amazing project called Inspirational Songstress, which I was involved with, which is why I was invited to be on the bill for this show. She highlights a female singer-songwriter every month, goes to a place where they feel comfortable and powerful and takes photos of them and interviews them about kind of their confidence journey. It's this really cool, like, very feminist project about, like, raising women's voices, and I was really excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And she's also a fantastic singer, songwriter, guitarist in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
And all the proceeds, I think, I haven't heard the exact detail, but I think she's figured it out, and all the proceeds, it's pay what you can, and all the proceeds go to a women's shelter.
Yeah, so that's this Friday, December 8th at the Cavern Bar in Toronto. I will be going on around 8:30, kicking things off. I'm playing a lot of really sad songs and also a lot of really sexy songs, so
nice.
Should be good.
Sad, sexy winter.
Yep. I was practicing my set the other day and I literally started crying and I was like, wow.
Not that.
It was a big feelings day. All right, well, Max, thank you so, so much for joining me this week. I was, like, really scrambling to find somebody to talk to when Bex was too sick to be on the show, because I didn't want to, like, make them podcast with me when they're feverish and, like, can barely lift their phone to their face right now, so
right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope you feel better, Bex, and I hope I'm doing the show justice. I really don't want Bex to text you just going, guys, this won't work. This was a horrific project.
So before we go, plug all your stuff. Where can people find you online and your music and all your stuff?
For my solo stuff, you can visit www.maxbornsteintunes.com. All the information about my solo music and all the bands I'm in, you can listen to everything. I also do lessons, so you can find out about... I've really... inexpensive rates. Send me an email.
He's a cheap guy.
A cheap guy. This whole thing is just a buns trade. Music lessons for Kush and wine.
Tokens.
Yeah. Just kidding. Don't smoke at a Kush.
Oh, we talk about Kush all the time on this show. Don't
no,
even
no, no, I mean, the other three guys in my band do, and I'm the...
You're the straight edge guy.
I'm not... I drink, but, like, I'm just...
Not to excess.
Not... And unless it's the last night of... Anyway. my band, Goodbye Honolulu, you can go to goodbyehonolulu.com. We're on Instagram, Twitter, Goodbye Honolulu, Snapchat.
You got some Facebook. Great music videos on YouTube.
Yep. Fried Records were on Bandcamp, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and my Instagram and Twitter. My Instagram is Max Bornstein. My Twitter is Drum Max, D R U M M A X.
Like a drum, and then your name.
Yeah. So, but okay. You made me feel like an idiot, but like I just want people to know that it's two M's, not just a one
not
M.
Drew Max. Yeah.
Yeah, and Snapchat. no nudes on the story as of yet, but add me, Max Bornstein. I got some 60% quality shit on there.
I gotta get a vanilla Snapchat just so I can have you on there and not have you see my nudes.
Going to coffee. I'm the only contact. Yeah, cool. That's Kate's up too.
That's such like an old person thing to do, to have Snapchat just to talk to one person in your life.
And I'm a total gem.
That's cute. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I don't think Max has ever read it. No?
I've read a few. I read the Missy interview.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I usually read your year-end sum up there.
Cool. You can also find the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. I also have a vanilla Twitter account, which, like, if you're like Max and don't want to read all my sexy shit, I don't know why you would be listening to this show, but you can follow me on Twitter at sparklesloan. There's nothing interesting on there. It's usually just me talking about food and music, so there's that.
Tight.
Yeah, we are the Dildorks when Bex is here. I mean, this is still the Dildorks, but there's only one Dildork present at the moment.
Dildork and Dildumb here.
You can find our website at thedildorks.com, which is also where all of our show notes are. If we ever talk about a thing and you're like, where is that? What was that again? You can usually look in those show notes to find links to all this stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at thedildorks. You can find us in whatever podcatcher you use, probably. Please rate and review us. The new iTunes podcast app thing makes it super, super easy for you to rate us, give us 5 stars because we're fucking great, and write a nice review. We might read good reviews on the air, so write us something cute that we can read. You can also support us at patreon.com/thedildorks. That gives us some money so we can get together and hang out and go to events and whatnot. Right now we're gearing up for the Playground Conference in February. Hopefully we'll be doing something cool there. I haven't heard details about that yet, but I will keep you posted. Thank you, as always, to Protodome for the use of our theme song, I Want You in My Bedroom, off his album Chip Funk, which you can find at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you to Amy Gardner at starboots_, who did our logo for us. And thank you to you for listening.
Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Bye! Let's check and test it.
Give it a good old test there. Testing.
Let's test it right out. Test the old microphone. And this is how we do it.
Brad Pitt is Tyler Durden at the end of Fight Club.
And that's the way it was.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Spoiler alert. That's the way the cookie crumbles. All right. And if there's anything you want me to edit out, just let me know.
Yeah, most of the conversation.
If I ask you a question, you're like, I can't answer that. My agent said, absolutely not.
Publicist says.
Yeah, fuck that. Okay. Do you want to do our sign off? I'll tell you what it is.
Sure.
Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life.
Until next time, folks, get out there and leave...
Mom could not get it right when I had her on either.
Yeah, I'm going to write it down.
Okay, and the other thing is after you say that, we go together, we say, bye.
Okay, you gotta text it to me.
Okay. I'll text it to you. There you go. I've texted you our sign-off, which is a weird thing to text someone.
Until next time, folks, get out there and leave... This is not, it was not even our memory problem. I just can't say live instead of leave. And leave your life.
Leave your life.
Not what I want
You're
people to...
You're encouraging suicide.
No, wrong. Edit this out.
Very good. Thank you, buddy.
Bye.
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 Da 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 da. Radio Free Calamity. Dun 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 dun. Radio Free Calamity. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey.
We're back, bitches.
Why do you feel the need to address our audience as bitches?
Why not?
Because that's rude.
You're rude.
You're rude.
Okay. So we're back after. Oh, how long?
A hiatus of approximately, almost a year, actually. Maybe even a year.
And I'm going to explain this in the simplest terms. Cruzette's a quitter.
I am not a quitter. Shut up. And
I was trying to do shows.
Stop for 1 second. So, hey, we just paused the show briefly to discuss whether or not we're going to still be using our aliases, Cruzette and Silent. And I choose not to because I think probably everyone knows my name already. Especially since many of you listening to this may be from my YouTube audience. I am an internet celebrity, so it would appear. But my brother
Leave.
Here... So my name's Kate, but my brother here is still gonna go by Silent. Even though he hasn't been silent for several years.
Could I have been named Paul? Or like Oliver, or like Peter or something? No, wait, no, Peter's a dick.
Stop it. No.
Okay, so what we thought was going to be funny was like one of those VH1 specials where it's like, behind the microphone, the Radio Free Calamity story. Was the magic really over? No.
Was there ever any magic to begin with?
No.